The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. You're listening to Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good evening, depending where you are in this world. I'm sitting here in the whiskey room once more, balanced on the very edge of the Thames. And a big show today for all of us. And it is called Free for All Friday. This is Free for All Friday. And by that, I mean, I want you to ring in. I want you to tell me how your week's been. And I want you to tell me how you've survived. How have you got through this week? Coming up in the show today at 9:40, I want to share with you a secret. A secret about a vast network of resistance building quietly across this fine planet of ours. The age of prohibition is back, my love, so that's at 9:40. At 9:20, my beautiful flame-haired Trump has been indicted. What is this all about? Is it really about £130,000 payment to beautiful Stormy Daniels? Or is it much more to do with trying to get the right to kick off and have a good old fight? And before that, of course, my top three stories coming out of today. But I do want to hear your voices. Tell me what's got you through the week. Is it faith? Is it wine? Is it chocolate? Is it Patrick Henningsen's voice? Or perhaps, you know what, it's TNT Radio. Do give me a call. Here are the numbers that you're going to need.
Our lines are open. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, so do give me a call. Let's hear your voices or jump on the chat at tntradio.live. I'd love to hear your views. The top three stories as I see it coming out of the UK today. I mean, clearly, we're going to revisit live. I'd love to hear your views. The top three stories as I see it coming out of the UK today. I mean, clearly, we're going to revisit this later in the show, Donald Trump's indictment. But it would be a disservice for me not to make that my number one story, not only because of my kind of personal links in the sense that I've spent so long on the road rallying MAGA troops, MAGA forces, a great people across the Rust Belt of America who believe, not only believe in Donald Trump, they absolutely need him, and they believe he's the only thing that can save them. I just want to talk a little bit about the indictment before we go into the detail of the thing at 9:40. But it's just, I guess there was a sense of inevitability about this indictment. He has been indicted now. He will face as many as 30 charges related to business fraud. This is coming from the attorney in New York, who's a Democrat, and Alvin Bragg, and has been threatening this for a long time. There's been a grand jury gathering in New York working on this, and finally the indictment is out. The Manhattan jury voted to indict him over $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Clearly, Trump is straight out of the gate. And I mean, he has been for a while. He warned of this. He pre-warned of this a week ago. He blasted the indictment, said that the Democrats would regret persecuting an innocent man when his supporters dumped him out of office. And I think that's one of the glorious things about Trump. A, he was partying last night in Mar-a-Lago. The footage of that was projected around MAGA supporters everywhere. This idea of a president very much carrying on business as usual, surrounded by supporters at Mar-a-Lago, which really has become his White House in Florida. So a sense that he knew this was coming. He was prepared for this to come, and coming straight out the bat with this indictment and blasting back at it. The Republicans closing ranks around Trump, you know, really pointing the fingers that this is just a politically targeted attack, some saying to Trump, stop running. One of the things I want to talk about at 9:40 is whether I think that's too simplistic, actually. I don't think this is about stopping Trump running. I think this is about trying to whip up passionate supporters of Trump into fighting back. I think this is about trying to get the right to absolutely just kick off and fight. That's what I think this is actually about, much more than stopping him running. I think this is about trying to sort of anarchy on the streets so that the right can be cracked down on even more than before. And a great example of that was the largely peaceful and glorious gathering on January 6th that I was there for, where a few were enticed, enabled, directed, led into, whatever words, whatever terminology, the Capitol building, mostly just walking peacefully around. And that was the rationale for being able to try and declare the right to be a terrorist organization. I think they want more of the same. But just seeing the shock across true Trump supporters, seeing Trump supporters lining the roads into Mar-a-Lago, standing there in the dark, flying their MAGA flags. Those are the greatest Americans. They're the greatest, truly. They're the same as our side here. They're the same as our side anywhere. They would do anything for anyone. They're the salt of the earth. They're hardworking. Just really the best kind of people. And I say this and I see this so often. It's so, so difficult when you're a good sort. You've worked hard. You've paid your taxes. You've abided by the rules as your parents set them out for you. You've tried your best to be loyal to your family any which way you can. You've tried your best to make it through another week, which I'm encouraging you to call in about today. Have you made it through another week? Because that is always an achievement these days. They're the salt of the earth types. And to see this kind of manipulation of systems that people wanted to trust in and want to trust in. People want even things like law. People want to believe in things like democracy. We want to think those things are true. Even when everything is showing us, it's just a manipulation by the powerful. But that's just a starter for 10. I felt like I could not start with Trump because it seems to, well, it's encompassed my whole heart since the indictment yesterday. But we will return to this at 9:40. The second thing that's probably one of the biggest stories, and certainly the biggest story coming out of the UK last night, and it leads into so many of the things that we're aware are happening. But the government, the British government, was forced to publish this ridiculous paper called Powering Up Britain. It's a Powering Up Britain strategy. The High Court judged last July that the government's current plan was not detailed enough to show how the UK would meet its goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to net zero by 2050, right? So the court, so some agitators, clearly well-paid protesters, I mean, WEF-funded, who knows, took a case to the High Court to say that the government was not showing how it would meet the net zero by 2050 target, okay? The government, the High Court ruled that it wasn't clear that the government needed to clarify. So the government has had to produce ridiculous paper, Powering Up Britain, and which has made all of this come into the headlines, which is exactly what those who funded this case against the government in the first place hoping for, a big old splash. But what it merrily and breezily does, as so often the case, is it brushes out, it sort of suggests that we all said, yes, please, we'd like net zero. It suggests that we all said, yes, we'd love to have net zero by 2050. It suggests, doesn't it, that at some point, if we were living in a democracy, that at some point we were asked if we would like to have net zero, that at some point it suggests we were asked whether net zero was something we wanted to sign up for. And the truth of the matter there is we never have been. We've never been asked about net zero and whether we wanted it. We've never been given the opportunity to vote on it, if voting still mattered. And yet we've all been signed up to the ridiculousness of net zero. And there's two very clear kind of camps on this, I think. There's a camp that says, do you know what? We'd all like to try a bit. We'd like to make sure that we can still see lovely green fields. We'd like to see birds in the trees. We'd like to be not polluting stuff. We'd like our rivers to have fish in. We'd like to make it so that people don't dump rubbish in terrible places. We'd like it so that no one was being harmed excessively if there was a better way of doing things. You know, this kind of middle ground that says, oh, yes, that doesn't look good if we've got these huge piles of rubbish festering away or we're dumping plastic into the seas. None of us, I think that's a great idea. I certainly don't feel like I want to see huge mounds of rubbish or oil being pumped into the water or dead fish floating on the water. That's like, we're not that side. We just want some sort of middle ground where everybody gets along and farming can be done as efficiently as it can, so it can be most rewarding for the farmers and for people who want choice in the supermarket. We want people to be able to heat their homes so that they're not cold, but they're not penalised for trying to do whatever is most cost efficient for them. You know, this balance between nature being all right and actually people being all right. But this weird, weird cultish determination to proceed to net zero at all costs, this weird cultish determination to kind of reduce mankind to nothing, that humans are the problem and humans need to be reduced and made smaller and ideally got rid of altogether and live together in small flats above public transport networks and be fundamentally controlled by a group of superior elites. This idea, the cultists around net zero are the problem and they seem to have the greatest share of voice. You know, we are facing £100 fine in the UK as a result of this latest powering up Britain. You always know when they call it something powering up, you know, ooh, look at us, power up. You always know it's going to mean either you're going to be made smaller or colder or more poor, right? That's how this works out, this powering up. So we're going to be fined. I will be fined £100 on top of my quadrupled bills. I will be fined £100 for having a gas boiler. A gas boiler that my home came with, a gas boiler that is in probably most homes in the country, a gas boiler that is the most typical form of heating our hot water or getting our heating to go on. We, on top of being quadrupled and crippled to the point that people aren't turning on their heating and elderly people are dying of hypothermia because they're frightened to put their own heating on, breaks my heart. We're going to be fined for having the gas boiler in our houses. And the suggestion is that somehow by some miracle of, well, I don't know, maybe money falls from the sky for certain people, but by some miracle of a golden goose laying a golden egg outside my front door, your front door, we're supposed to be putting in wretched heat pumps in exchange for our gas boilers. And the only way we're going to be able to avoid being fined for having a gas boiler is by installing a £5,000 plus heat pump that, get this, the headline on the heat pumps is they work really, really, really well. They're great. They're the new thing. Heat pumps, heat exchange. It's the new thing. The only problem, the only time they don't work is when it's cold. That's actually a true story. True story. The time the heat pumps don't work is when it's cold. Now, I'm no Einstein, but I'm just feeling like the time you need your heat is when it's cold, isn't it? And these are this is the aggressive kind of, they cannot hear their own voices, I think. Retired renters already face a 400% rise in their energy bills. Now we're going to be fined. And then really weird cultist zealots. In France, they've just stopped road building. No more roads. It's stopped. It's over. Over. And, oh, that's Wales as well. And in France, they want to have no more detached houses. This is the zealotry that's being forced. And this is what we feel coming out of the UK right now. And in a final moment, my final story, my final top three is our Amsterdam stay away in 1 minute or less. And in brief, Amsterdam digital discouragement campaign. We don't want you, you drunkards, you British people, you terrible men wanting to do terrible things with our prostitutes. Stay away. Prostitutes in Amsterdam, get lost. We love British lads. They're great. They keep us in sweaters. I don't know what prostitutes wear on the weekend or in the week on a Tuesday night when they haven't got business. And we don't want to be moved to erotic centres, prostitutes are protesting. And now the British lads are saying, that sounds like a right laugh. You want us to stay away? You think that things getting a bit messy is going to deter British lads from going out on the lash? That's exactly the sort of stuff we want to be part of. We want to get messy. Come on, bring it on. You think locking us up for a night is something we're not used to? Let's all book and go to Amsterdam. So in a glorious moment of uplift, as we finish off on our top three stories of today, I could tell digital discouragement campaign has had the opposite effect here in the UK, and our great British lads are vowing that their first thing they're going to book is a messy holiday straight to Amsterdam. That's our top three stories. We'll be back in a moment to talk more about the indictment, the first indictment of a former president, the indictment of Donald J. Trump. Don't go anywhere. My name's Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Lynn Shaw.
So Houston, the government stepped in because failing grades. And they were also, the government, not happy with all of the programs for disabled kids. They were not up to par. Now, it's fair to say, pre-pandemic, pandemic, now, education system lacking behind. Easily, kids are at least a year behind. Now, here's the problem. This is mostly the majority house is Republican. So the Democrats are fighting, again, that weaponization, which does not belong in the school classrooms and all that. But what do? When it's a failing school system. And of course, the ACLU, they stepped in and they're fighting because they want everybody to have freedom. The problem with Houston is, and this is what we really have to look at, and people are afraid to really go near this point, but I'm going to mention it. The public school system in Houston is 90% made up of children of color, Black, Hispanic. And why not be able, in my warrior's dream world, can you imagine school choice for these kids? Who could really, you know, flower in this environment?
Lynn Shaw on TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Thanks for listening to us. Now, we want to listen to you. Our lines are open from the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, and thanks so much for being part of TNT Radio. One of the glorious things as I go about the road here in the UK is the number of people that say they listen. And I shouldn't be surprised, I appreciate. But all of the places I go, someone says, oh yeah, I heard you on TNT, or oh, I love those TNT guys, and they'll mention one of the TNT guys that they love. And so that's a really glorious thing, a really uplifting thing. So thank you very much for being part of this. Do excuse me if our gremlins are in our system a little bit. I am, as we talked about yesterday, perched in a whiskey room at the top of a high building on the very edge of the Thames. And I'm going to speak a little bit more about the secrets that have been going along. At 9:40 this morning, so in 20 minutes, a secret network building up, and perhaps you're part of it already, in which case you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So do bear with me. I have been running around this complex like an absolute lunatic trying to seek out the Wi-Fi, so do bear with. But in this section, my loves, I would love to hear from you if you have a view on what this indictment means for Trump. Some of you on the chat here saying, in my view, the president has just won the primary. And this is about Trump being indicted. So last night, overnight, the news coming out that Trump has been indicted, the first US president in history to be indicted. And the mass ranks of the media, I got one of my mates in the city just sent me some video of the media lined up in New York. You can only imagine. It is an absolute scrum right now outside the court there in New York. And Donald Trump straight out blasting, which is one of the things that's so fantastic about him. He is straight out just kind of blasting back at these idiots. He said, the Democrats have done the unthinkable. And I think that's sort of a glorious phrase because it takes himself out of it completely. They have done the unthinkable. They have pulled the law in to try and push this indictment against Trump, enabled actually by a guy who used to be on our team, or seemingly probably was only ever out for himself, but Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen allegedly, or was, the guy that passed the money to Stormy Daniels. So Michael Cohen is the guy that was kind of Trump's fixer, his sidekick, whatever. He got sent to prison, to jail in 2018. He served 3 years. So clearly Michael Cohen is the guy with a chip on his shoulder and now wants vengeance and revenge. And actually, as Cohen has always been, the thing he seems to want most of all is time on the network. So time on Fox News or time on CNN. He very much likes Michael Cohen, really enjoys seeing his own face. So in terms of being useful to the Democrats right now, they're the one more useful than Michael Cohen right now. So Donald Trump now in the next few days, what has to happen is he has to go to New York. So he will have to, unless he refuses to comply, which I definitely don't think is a route that he'll go down. I think he'll be fully compliant. He will have to go to New York. That's where my mate's standing with the banks. And I mean, it is literally, you know, deep, just people wrestling with ladders and cameras and all of the crews around endlessly, people fronting up the news stories. Donald will have to come to New York and he will have to be booked and fingerprinted, and he will have to enter a formal plea in front of a judge. And you can feel, can't you, the salivating left on this, the salivation of those who the thing they want most of all in the world are pictures of Donald Trump having his mugshot taken. They want that picture of Trump as criminal, because mugshots always, whether the person is innocent or guilty, mugshots always say criminal no matter what. They want that picture more than anything, and they are now going to get that picture unless there's a way that Trump doesn't get that published. But you know, that's the picture that's going to be splashed on the front pages that are loyal to the Democrats. The charges have been brought by New York Attorney General Alvin Bragg, who frankly has been out for Trump from the start. And it does make you wonder. I'm only just back from New York. And truthfully, I lived in New York for 5 years. I worked on Madison Avenue, and it was a glorious time. It was Giuliani, and it was a time of no crime, low crime. You could walk through the streets at 3 a.m. back from wherever on my own, completely safe. And New York now is just a festering cesspit. They're clearly keeping certain areas, 42nd Street, clean and tidy. But if you were at all, you know, if it was one of my daughters, would I let them ride the subway now? No, I wouldn't. Clearly I do, because, well, frankly, bring it on. The Democrats, I'm just looking at our chat here. Well done, everybody, for joining in. If you'd like to join in the chat, tntradio.live. The Democrats are desperate. This is the stuff of banana republics. So true. I mean, that's true. What he should do. Is go to town with the mugshot. That's such a great shout, actually, and that is very Trump. So someone's saying he should go to town with this mugshot, use the mugshot as part of his campaign. And that's really, really smart thinking. That is such smart thinking in terms of, I'm kind of proud. I'm, you know, a very Trumpian thing to do is to say, this is what they're prepared to do because they know I speak for you. This is what they're prepared to do to me because I stand for you. You know, standing there really taking the arrows, being crucified for you, and here's the mugshot to prove it. A great idea. The Trump indictment could be a face value political play, more likely theatrics. Trump is playing his part. They're using it for distraction and two, to precipitate. What is precipitating? It's precipitating outside right now here in the UK. I do apologize. What's going on with my lips? They're using it to precipitate. Oh, good. We've got some English language back. Terrific. Precipitate civil unrest. He is establishment. Ooh, he was bailed out at least twice by the banks. One time when it was Chase, Manhattan, when it was owned by the Rockefellers. Oh, I say. I totally think the idea that this is about precipitating civil unrest is incredibly valid. And listening and speaking to some of my friends, colleagues, peers in the States last night, this morning, very early their morning, that's exactly the what they think this play is, that in the grand scheme of things, what they're hoping for is a January 6th style event, and that there may actually be operations at work now to help behind the scenes make the January 6th style event happen. And what great Republicans are doing very quickly is jumping in and saying, you know, calmness is what we need. We win this by not rising to it. And we win this by channeling anger, which I, you know, I think that's smart. And I think it's smart to ask for calm. I also think it's smart to ask for loyalty and smart to suggest channeling that loyalty into MAGA rallies, which is what Trump's side has always done so, so brilliantly. Now, there's some interesting things I wanted to talk about in terms of the reaction to the Trump indictment. Hey, listen, people on text apologizing for typos. I can't even say the word precipitate. So please, never. This is a rule that we must have on our side, my darlings. We don't apologize, and we don't apologize specifically to the other side, right? We don't apologize because it just encourages people. Never apologize for yourself. Go boldly, unless you've really messed up, and then, of course. But there's some reactions to the indictment of Trump that allow you to see the sorts of things that are at work. First up, what you're going to do if you're Republican and Trump is indicted, knowing the huge support, 80 million Americans voting for Trump in the last election, I would suggest many more. What you're going to do is make sure you close ranks. So as a Republican, if I'm a congressman or if I'm a lawmaker, I am going to close ranks now. And I'm going to say that this is simply outrageous. And that's precisely what's happened. So Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, who actually is loathed by so many Republicans. But anyway, he says the attorney has irreparably damaged the nation in an attempt to interfere with the 2024 presidential election. Also, DeSantis. So what would be perceived as Trump's biggest rival for 2024, if indeed he does call his run, is that he called the indictment un-American, the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head, he wrote. He also put, and this is very telling, this is the closing in bit, and this is what needs to be done in the initial phases of reacting, I think, if you were handling this from a press and PR point of view, that Florida would not assist in an extradition of Mr. Trump to New York. So Florida would be in a regular case. New York would expect Florida to assist with the extradition of someone that was wanted to face charges. And if I guess it was a real criminal, Florida would obligingly do that. However, DeSantis is standing up and saying that they won't assist with getting Trump to New York, which I think is a smart play as well, because the most likely thing Trump will do and his people will do is manage a very smooth and sophisticated and very Trumpian arrival at the courthouse. I think that's much more likely, and that Trump actually uses it as an opportunity to present himself as strong and to present himself as the person who's taking the arrows in order to defend his people. Some people suggesting here on chat that, you know, this is what will win him 2024. This will work. This is the thing that will win the election for Trump. That's got to be the hope of Trump's teams, right? For Trump's rivals, if you are heading up communications for Trump's rivals, so other Republican contenders, ready, do you remember that? Love that. Other contenders to be the candidate, to be the Republican nominee, This is a more challenging thing. So true Republicans already elected, you're going to close in and you're going to say it's an outrage. If you're running against Trump, and in future, you're going to be potentially at a debate with Trump and you need to prove yourself a better candidate than Trump, you are going to be talking about why this is not okay, but not in a supportive way of Trump. So an example of that is the Arkansas governor, Asa Hutchinson. So there's this thing where you dive in and you don't call the indictment itself unjust, but you call it a dark day. So the statement is, it's a dark day for America when a former president is indicted on criminal charges. So what you can see there is a sort of, it's a statement, but it's a little airy-fairy. It's not saying that the indictment itself is unjust. It's kind of pulling up a level from it. And the other way of doing this is to suggest that Trump has always been a liability. People that will be running against Trump will be saying that he is a less appealing candidate because drama follows him everywhere. And they can kind of make that very sanitized because they can be not anti-Trump, not turn off Trump's base, but say, look, there's nothing we can do, guys. Drama follows Trump everywhere. This indictment is shows how drama follows this guy everywhere. I'm the better candidate. And if I was running against Trump, that's the kind of way you might want to play that. And you do it with a sort of sad face, right? So you sort of sad that this is what happens to Trump. Isn't it a pity? It is better that you'll vote for me. So that's another option to play with if you're running against Trump. From the Trump campaign, exactly as you guys are saying at TNTRadio.live on the chat, the way to play this is to take it as a massive positive, to use it, to harness it, and to a way of pulling in donations. So the Trump campaign is straight out, please make a campaign donation, any amount, to defend our movement from the never-ending witch hunts and win the White House in 2024, making sure that, you know, they show that this will backfire. And as for Biden, Biden's playing this by saying absolutely nothing at all. Nada. Nothing but silence. Nothing is being said by Biden. And that's the same play that he used. And I think it worked well for him, actually, given that, you know, he essentially walks around in diapers talking about chocolate ice cream and can't be let out of anyone's sight because God only knows what he'll say. But Biden holds his silence, and that's probably the right approach for someone like him who can't be trusted to say anything at the best of times. So he keeps quiet, just as he did after Trump's impeachment. And about from the 6th of January, he held his silence. And I think his comms team's view would be best let Democrats jump into the void and best let Trump self-destruct, which is what they will hope will happen. Looking at some other comments out there, I don't understand what law he is actually supposed to have broken. As long as it was his money, it's his business if he wants to pay someone for their discretion about illegal activity. If indeed he did avail her of her services, so what? I love that kind of comment. That kind of comment gives me enormous faith in people, and this is exactly what I think our side is about, is so what? Live your life, live your best life. As long as it's not hurting someone, as long as you're not asking someone else to pay for what you're doing or what you're doing that's marginally wrong in the eyes of whatever, the moral police, why not? Someone who actually has worked on or been on a grand jury. When I was on a grand jury for 3 months, the way it's set up means that practically every case presented to the jurors move forwards because the rules are different than in court. This doesn't mean he's going to be convicted at all. So interesting there. So the idea that a grand jury percentage-wise, I have to look at what the percentage-wise is of cases that goes through grand jury, how many of those go to court. Perhaps you guys know the answer to that, and that happens to most of them. And actually, this might not be such a big deal. But of course, the big deal is that it will be in the newspapers, the mugshot will be on the front pages. And as you can imagine, the Twitterati just love it because it makes them feel special, because suddenly they're going to have pictures of Donald Trump being locked up. And many of us will remember I was on the road with the Trump team when they were campaigning across America in 2016, when I really got into kind of my American journey, and the huge, huge halls where Trump would be, the chanting of lock her up. You know, part of that lock her up for Hillary Clinton and those emails that disappeared. Part of that chant lock her up is what got Donald Trump into the White House in 2016. And of course, it's just so joyous and delicious for the left to be able to chant that back at MAGA supporters now, with the whole idea that they can lock him up. All of the while, of course, not a single person held accountable for visiting Epstein's island, not a single moment of attention being given to the fact that crime in New York City is at record highs, all a massive distraction from the fact that there's a demented president in the White House. Far easier for the left to do exactly as they've done for the last decade in America, which is talk about Trump. All very lazy indeed. And I do think actually this will work out as a net positive for the flame-haired man that I know and love. So, my darlings, we're going to hop to a quick commercial break. Do not go anywhere. After this, I want to tell you the secrets that are presenting themselves here on the road in the UK and indeed in America and elsewhere. So do not go anywhere. My name is Katie Hopkins and this is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
The last 9 years have been the hottest on record. That's simply an indisputable fact, underscoring the need for bold action to protect our planet, said Administrator Bill Nelson, who is running NASA. Now, let me pick that apart a little bit. The last 9 years have had the highest temperatures that we've ever recorded. It has not been hot on planet Earth. Let me ask you a question. If the ocean temperature is 58 and it rises to 59, do you think that water is hot? And that's what they do. They use the term hot. The lion's share of the warming has occurred in the coldest, driest areas where it is still frigid. But they love to use that terminology. NASA's climate strategy is a declaration of our continued commitment to lead on climate and how we intend to do so. Well, the first thing you do is advise your president to try to clamp down on China and their two coal plants a week, if you really believe that CO2 is the culprit. Yeah, I can't get off that whole situation with that graphic showing that the United States is leading the way in stopping carbon emissions, whether you want to believe that CO2 is responsible or not. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
It's not a taking a call from childcare seat.
Hello.
Or a coffee on the way to work seat. It's not a reading an email from a workmate seat. Or even a dealing with the kids before they get out of hand seat.
Stop it!
It's a driver's seat. If there's someone or something that needs your attention and it can't wait, pull over first. Because no one's driving if you're distracted. A message from the government of South Australia.
We don't talk at you.
Blah, 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 blah.
Shut up. We talk with you.
What do you think of this idea?
Let me tell you this.
What's wrong with this picture?
From government overreach to the global plandemic, TNT Radio invites you to join us as we separate facts from fiction, truth from propaganda, day in, day out. Call the open line anytime. In the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech has a home on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Absolutely it does. And I would love to hear your little dulcet tones here on the radio. You know, we're nothing without conversations. And you do know how much I love a chat. No one escapes me, including the cleaner this morning in the bathroom. I met her yesterday in the bathrooms and again today, and we had nice little chit chats. So do always just give me a shout on the phone lines. And coming up after me today, go nowhere, people. Do not leave TNT Radio. I will track you and I will hunt you down. It's the glorious Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel. So they'll be following along after me. I will hand the baton of power, the TNT Radio baton. I will pass firmly into the hands of Rick and Natalie, and they will run you through the next hour. So do jump on the calls and get your place in the show with Rick and lovely Natalie straight after my show here at TNT Radio. Now, my darlings, I want to talk to you. I want to share my secrets with you. Be prepared. Now, I'm not going to share my secrets with you because I don't think you need all that detail. And I also feel like many of you may have had a tough week already. Do jump on and let me know how you've managed to make it through this week, if indeed you've made it through. Chocolate, faith, hard drugs, I don't know, leaning on a friend. How has your week been from a scale of one to truly terrible? No, give us a call and let us know. But I always promise, don't I? My promise to you, loves, is that we will bring the light. We will bring happiness. And here it is with my secrets, which are that there is a movement afoot. And some of you may already have your little feet in the movement that is afoot, which is a network of glorious speakeasies popping up across this fine country of ours here in the UK and elsewhere too. It is not just here that the speakeasy network is starting to truly flourish. And it's terrifically exciting. As I go about the place here, from small town to small town, I am speaking to groups of people who are gathering, usually in their evenings, without telling anybody else, without advertising an event, without publicising an event. I don't mention these events on my social media. I don't mention them apart from a reference to after, until after the event has happened. And that's the reason I'm sat in this little whiskey room on the banks of the Thames, is because last night I was, where should we call it, somewhere near Reading, and at a speakeasy, 100 people gathered in a chocolate cafe. There's many of those around. So this is fine. Car park absolutely full when I rocked up, and a room filled with glorious people who have stuck together over the last 3 years of what have been truly the most testing years, I think, that many of us have been through. And they were all there together waiting for the speakeasy. I walked into the room and, I mean, it's just lovely. The room erupts. Nothing, I'm sure, to do with me being there. Just because we're all there, right? Like, we're all here on TNT Radio, the same thing. We're all joyous because look at us, right? It makes my little hairs go up on my arms just then thinking about it. Look at us. Look at us here, gathered 100 strong, all brilliant, having a lovely time already, sat down with each other, ready to just listen to each other, to hear, for me to speak for a while. I speak for about an hour or so, and most of it is mostly laughing at myself or at the other side. The side that just can't seem to see how stupid they are, highlighting that stupidity as a moment for us to all enjoy being together. And for so many people in that room, along with the laughter, later come so many tears when I don't leave until the last man standing. I make sure everybody, we get to see or hug or a photo with everybody or whatever they want to do. A brilliant lady in the audience last night came up when I was working. I mean, I say working the line. I'm not work. It's not work. It's my privilege. But she came up and she went, and I was, you know, cuddling people and people are upset and whatever. And she comes up, she goes, "I do not hug." And I love that. I think she may have been Danish. I don't mean that as a casual anti anybody Danish, but her very first thing, "I do not hug." And a glorious thing about our side, we're very clear about what we do and we don't do, but we absolutely love each other. I remember I loved her particularly. Anyway, I do not hug. Good. But my message of hope to you all is that these are happening right now. And I'm now thoroughly dedicated to this. This will be my year. We'll be doing secret speakeasies wherever people are gathered to reassure them of many things. And there's some observation I had that I want to share with you. One of them is that the venues that are holding these are lovely venues with parking and last night there was a bar, but these venues typically kept their venues open during lockdown. So these groups typically have been gathering for the last 3 years and they continue to do so. So that's a really important part of this, is this network. It's not like I'm not trying to suggest, oh, look, these speakeasies, they're gathering because of me. Not at all. These are people who've been gathering for 3 years. And I am now fortunate enough to be visiting with these groups of so loyal people. The other thing that's so important, I think, to mention is, as you will know in Australia, as you will know in Canada, as you will know wherever you are, is that Stand in the Park, or perhaps whatever it was called where you are, Stand in the Park. Stand in the Park have been so integral to this, the movement of people who were just gathering together in parks, standing peacefully just to be together, to show that they weren't going to be told that they had to stay indoors. Groups that had swelled from 12 people at the start, who were shouted at, who were ridiculed, who were made to feel stupid, who were asked, what are you doing? Get a job. Get a job. People used to shout. I was with them, I know. And their numbers grew to 2,000 at times, 3,000 strong, and are back down to small numbers again, because we don't want to protest when we're not trying to actively protest. What we have to do now is gather, we have to rebuild, we have to repair, and we have to organize, and we have to strengthen the network. And that's a glorious thing that's happening as you speak. It's happening under your feet, it's happening behind the curtain, it's happening at night in places you don't expect, it's happening above an underwear shop in a town I could tell you the name of, it's happening in liberal woke heartlands like Bristol. When Bristol went out to the Quiet Network, the original seating went within 2 hours, so we had to add on another night. This is the efficiency, the speed, the power of the network in Bournemouth. My original Bournemouth venue pulled because they lacked a spine. Our network fashioned a new venue, a huge venue, and all of those seats were gone within the day. So this is not a ragtag bunch of people who are sort of rocking up when they can be bothered. This is a powerful and effective and a strong network that we need to protect at all costs. You know, if we were to say protect them at all costs, this is a network that needs protecting at all costs. But I'm really, really proud of it. And so that's part of something I wanted to share. The other thing that I wanted to share that's really, really important to me is when I'm in America on the road, I talk often to groups about the fact that there are so many of us out there. I think we've got Gail actually from Melbourne on the line, and Gail may be a good example of exactly what we're talking about. Gail, are you able to hear me, I wonder?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly clear, Katie. Thank you.
Oh, look at us. Thank you for being with us at TNT Radio. What would you like to say, Gail?
And let me say, I think there's plenty of Trump supporters out there. I was on a cruise a few years back and I know plenty of Trump supporters from the US.
And good on you.
It's interesting, a few years back I saw something on the neighbourhood. We have neighbourhood groups and there was obviously someone from America wanted to comment on this election. Of course, they were shut down straight away because they said something that you shouldn't say on there. Nothing, just something positive about him. And
you can't
say anything. But I do have a lot of connections, and there are a lot of people I've I do go up to the country on weekends. There's a lot of people up there that get together in the park, so I do know
good.
About this. And I've got good connections in Melbourne where I live, in different parts of Melbourne. I also,
good, this is perfect.
I'm also connected with people from my place. And it's amazing
good.
How, you know, you have this closeness straight away and trust with everyone.
Isn't that exactly it? That sense of being with your family, right? There's no barriers, there's no rules. It's just us.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you're Melbourne.
What you know. What's that?
Exactly. You're Melbourne, aren't you? So you're Dan Andrews.
Oh, don't mention that name. Yeah.
Ugh, spit. Yeah. Spit.
Yeah.
You really went through that.
Just don't know.
No.
I know my friend probably voted for him. I've got friends that think he's wonderful, and I don't want to talk to them about him because I'm disgusted, and I don't know how he's still in power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah. So many people.
You guys really went through.
Because of him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You guys really went through the worst of it in Melbourne, didn't you? Give other people an idea, in the UK, Melbourne was really the dark heart of lockdown. If you want to say a little bit about that.
Oh, an absolute hole. You couldn't go more than 5Ks out of your way. Everyone was just walking in around the parks and, oh, unbelievable. It's interesting because I walk to work. I worked I was within 4Ks of my house, so I walk to work every day. And you knew the few people that walked on those paths, and all of a sudden everybody was out and trying to avoid each other, I must say. But
just dark times.
It was shocking. It was shocking, and how everyone just did what they were supposed to do, and how much it affected everyone's mental health.
A question, and it's something that I talk about, we were talking about last night. Do you think, as I do, that people are carrying, like, there's never been a time really for people to talk about how affected they've been by the last 3 years. There hasn't been a forum for people to talk about what this might have done to them.
Absolutely. No, there is no discussion on anything. I can't, you know, you can't imagine what it's done to a lot of people left Melbourne. There was hundreds of thousands have left Melbourne. And so all the voters that would have voted against Dan Andrews, they all left Melbourne. So we're stuck here with him. But, of course, Arby, what's his surname?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are out there, and it's really amusing just around the polling booths. And, yeah, because I had a friend who was on one of those booths for an independent, and I went there to support them. I thought the poor thing standing there on their own. And then, you know, immediately, because you're for an independent, you're an anti-vaxxer. Like,
isn't it?
You know, we
exactly.
had a socialist
and this one...
party woman. She was, oh, are you anti-vaxxer? I won't
always
tell you what I repeated back.
It might be the sort of language we can't even have here at TNT Radio, although I do set that bar pretty low as well. Thank you so much, Gail, for taking the time to call in and share that with us, and that sense of carrying this waterfall of hurt that people are carrying. And just like in America, where Republicans are fleeing California, leaving only Democrats there, so Gavin Newsom gets to stay in, the same problem happening in Melbourne. And of course, when they arrive in Florida, for example, or if Democrats leave their states to arrive in Florida, what the message has to be, listen, you Democrats, or listen, you leftists, or listen, you socialists, you don't get to move away from the mess that you made. And imagine you're going to start voting for that same crap here now that you've moved. If a Democrat arrives in Florida, you know, I think it should be mandated they're not allowed to vote Democrat because they had to flee Democrat policies. And I think that's true in Melbourne as well. If you leave Melbourne, you can't then vote for the sort of party that messed up Melbourne like Dan Andrews did. But I slightly got on a rant there. So my darlings, I so appreciate you all. I appreciate your support on emails. Do keep emailing in. The contact details are on TNT Radio. I so appreciate you on the chat and forwarding in and for bearing with me this week. It's been a glorious thing. I look forward to talking to you every day. Do remember that right up after me is going to be the very beautiful Rick And they're even more fabulous, obviously, because she is a lady. Natalie Cheer. Well done, Natalie. Go you. And I will leave you, as always, with the sound of the birds from my garden that I barely see because I'm forever on the road. But, you know, you're supposed to have a home to put your children in, so that's what I've done. And this is the sound of birdsong from my trees. So do know, anytime you feel alone, you look up. And be reminded that the speakeasy is alive and well. The resistance movement is growing. You are not alone. That we are indeed many. We are strong and fine. And we are powerful when we stand together. Thank you so much for sticking with me, Katie Hopkins. And this is TNT Radio.